Since becoming Supreme Pontiff 4 months ago, Pope Francis has inspired and intrigued his followers in equal measure with stunning gestures of humility, a willingness to speak off the cuff, a beguiling sense of humour, and with messages that suggest he's about to overhaul the Vatican bureaucracy and lead the church towards more simplicity, a church of the poor for the poor. But soon after he was elected Pope, an email was sent by a fellow Jesuit leader in South America warning that the new pope was a troublemaker who would be a catastrophe for the church. The email is one of many revelations published in a new biography of Pope Francis, the first by a British author, Paul Vallely, who joins me now. Paul, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Why were so many Jesuits horrified when Cardinal Bergoglio became pope?
Because when he became the leader of the Jesuits in Argentina, and he had various roles for about 15 years. He is an immensely charismatic figure, but he divided the province very deeply between those who loved him and those who loathed him, because he was very authoritarian in his style, and he'd been put in a kind of revolution to almost a coup to get rid of the old provincial, to act as the hammer of liberation theology, the movement which said the poor need political transformation as well as spiritual transformation. He was put in to crack down on that, and he did so pretty ruthlessly.
There's been a great deal of speculation about the then Cardinal's role in the Argentine Dirty War. What have you unearthed about that part of his life?
Well, two of the liberation theologians had previously been his professors at university, and when he told them to come out of the slums and stop working with the poor, they said no, and they had a big argument with him. He ordered them to. Jesuits have a vow of obedience, and when they said no, we want to keep talking to you about this, and they wouldn't come out, he cut them off from the order, and the military picked up the signals that he'd cut them off from the order, and went in, picked them up, and held them for 5 months and tortured them, and subsequently he realised that he had been reckless and stubborn, and had allowed his anger with these two men to make him make a foolish decision, and he went into exile for 7 years after he'd been made leader of the Jesuits. And in that time, he began to transform his leadership style. And basically, what he's been doing since has been to atone for what he did with those two Jesuits.
So what you really described in your book here, and you're intimating this with that description of the exile, is a tale of two Bergoglios, the dramatic transformation of a reactionary authoritarian figure into a champion of the poor. Talk us through that. Walk us through those 7 years. What changed him? What transformed him?
Well, he's a man of deep prayer. He spends 2 hours every morning in prayer before his day begins. And in that time, he decided that God was telling him that he'd been doing it wrong, and that he needed to be a different kind of leader. When he came out of that period of exile, he was sent there by the Jesuit leadership. He was sent 400 miles away from Buenos Aires because they perceived him as still being troublesome and causing splits in the movement. They had to bring in a series of provincials. Eventually, they had to bring in a provincial from outside the country, from Colombia, to heal the divisions. In that time, he decided that he had actually been not listening to how God wanted him to be. And he transformed himself into this kind of icon of radical humility. It's quite calculated. I don't mean it's cynical, but it's quite calculated, his decision to be humble. He knows that simplicity, authenticity and humility is what's required. And he has a kind of battle with his own personality to do that. And I think what we've seen in Brazil shows how successful he's been.
How are we seeing those transformational qualities emerging in the new Pope's style, in his approach to managing the Vatican, for example, redirecting the future of the church?
Well, he's set up this council of advisors, archbishops from all around the world, who'll give him counter-advice to what he'll get from the Vatican bureaucracy. And one church historian said that was the most important step in the history of the church for the past 10 centuries. So that is pretty radical stuff. He's shaking up the Vatican. He told cardinals who run the Vatican Bank Advisory Board that they wouldn't be getting the 25,000 a year euros that they've got previously. He's going through and simplifying and making things authentic. authentic and telling people, we don't want priests who drive around in flash cars. We want people... He told papal nuncios recently, the ambassadors in the different countries, when you're looking for new bishops, we want simple men who can work with the poor, not people who are clerical careerists. It's just change, 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 change.
And there's a full circle, in a way, to this story, because you also tell us that the Pope has been reaching out to liberation theologians today.
Well, the irony is that while he was Buenos Aires as the bishop, all the things that he did, backing cooperatives, unions, self-help groups, were the things that he'd been put into clamp down on 20 years earlier. And he rehabilitated all the liberation theologians. He honoured them and had ceremonies and services for them. And he's now been talking to the man who was silenced, one of the leading liberation theologians, Leonardo Boff, sentenced to obsequious silence by the Vatican. He's been in touch with him privately and said, can you send me all your writings on eco-theology? Because the Pope wants to write a big encyclical on the environment and the threats to creation.
Watch this space, as they say. Paul, thank you very much. Paul Vallely, the author of Pope Francis Untying the Knots, published by Bloomsbury. It's been a week of mixed fortune.